How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. It's Sunday. It's 6 p.m. It's me. I'm here. Listen, I started a little trouble this week. Caused a little ruckus. But man, I got to tell you, I have a ton to talk about regarding Raw possibly moving to TV-14. How I was told this information, what I saw, what other people saw. I'm actually, listen, here's the reality. If I saw that was reported somewhere, I probably would have been like, hey, are they really going TV-14? But this is a new development. This is a very interesting development here happening within USA Network, within WWE, which we're going to talk about, obviously, because this is the big story, as of Thursday, one of those. More allegations possibly against Vince McMahon. There's more investigations coming out. A lot of people within the wrestling business have been reached out. A lot of people within media have been reached out regarding this. They want to be questioned. They want to ask some questions about previous incidents about Vince McMahon. So we're going to talk about that. Special guest referee added to SummerSlam. That entire card is changing. Jeff Jarrett has been added to that tag match. Ain't I great? They're in Nashville. Who better than Double J to do that? G1 results, night 1 and 2. And guys, guess what? Somebody's going to be calling in a couple of minutes here. The one, the only, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer is going to be joining me to kind of, you know, break down everything that's been going on with this Raw story, which I think is it's an astronomical story if it is happening. The way that this kind of came out is even funnier. I I'll tell you this before we head on over to the break. This is the first time. I mean, you know, listen, I get a lot of stuff that comes across. I get a lot of emails. I look at a lot of text messages. I have never seen a memo get released and then get pulled back after 2 hours the way that it was done. We're going to be talking about that and a whole lot more. Also joined by Dave Meltzer when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here on a Sunday on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here, Sunday edition. Man, I am glad to be here today. I'm feeling the music, too, for you guys here today. A lot to talk about, obviously. With me, as I told you guys, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Meltzer on the line with us. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how are you, Andrew?
I'm doing good. I got in a little trouble on Friday, but I think it kind of worked itself out with this story about,
well, Pat McAfee saved you.
Pat McAfee did save me, and a couple other people tweeted and kind of saved me here. But I wanted to kind of run down the story with you because, honestly, I haven't been doing this long enough. Unlike you, you know, you've been covering wrestling for 40 years or so.
50.
Okay, you know what? I didn't want to date you. But I got to say,
well, I started very young.
You did. And listen, it influenced a lot of us here. A ton of us covering professional wrestling. But for me, you know, I don't really do scoops. I don't like to kind of dig in. But sometimes when I know something is happening, it's pretty certain. And, you know, I see things and I'm told things. And obviously you get a lot of this information, too. Friday, I got wind that, or was it Thursday? Friday or Thursday? I can't remember.
It was Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah. I got a message early in the morning saying, hey, have you heard anything about Raw going TV-14? I laughed at it. And I said, I'm like, yeah, sure, okay, whatever. And two other people at USA reached out to me. Somebody within WWE reached out to me. And I was like, okay, something's brewing. And then somebody at Fox asked me also. Same question. Do you know anything happening about this? And I said, no, absolutely not. So I asked a couple people, and I was told there was a memo that went out. I saw this memo. I saw that they said that it's happening on July 18th, which I couldn't believe that soon. And within three hours of me posting what I posted, a retraction went out internally within USA, and they got scolded at sharing information. So,
but I mean, we know that it's something that's been discussed, and it's something that's probably happening because number one, I mean, first of all, obviously the memo tells you that that was the idea at that moment, and that the only thing that they're trying to figure out is when to do it and how to explain to the public and all that. But once McAfee said it, it's almost like we're acknowledging that it's happening soon. So it's happening. What that means is the big question, but it's clearly happening.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I try to be careful with this stuff. And I sent Brian immediately when it was happening. I messaged Brian and I messaged Garrett to text you because I couldn't find your phone number. So I'm like, hey, Garrett, can you like send this to Dave, you know? And I don't know if he sent you what I sent him, but I mean, for a memo to say, hey, just to let staff know, July 18th, we're going, you know, we're going to be TV 14.
Yep.
That's as solidified as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, I know I've seen like inner office memos and everything, and sometimes they change a little bit. But generally speaking, in every case, the basic story always happens. So, you know, it's a question. Sometimes the date's moved. I mean, I've heard about like memos about cancellation of a show, and sometimes it moves. They move the cancellation back or up a month. But it always ends. I mean, I've never had someone tell me, "Hey, this show's being canceled," and it doesn't end up being canceled, so to speak.
Yeah.
Or this, where we're making this move, and it always happens. So yeah. I mean, like, as soon as I heard it was a memo at USA, it was like, okay, it's happening. Just a question of when.
Yeah, it was very, very shocking to me that it got kind of messed up within a couple hours. But here's the bigger question, right? It's not to me. It's not a matter of them going TV 14. It's a matter of when and what that actually means. Like you said, I don't think this means that they're going to be, you know, blood and, you know, actually the rating is TV. They're going from PGV to TV 14 LV. So this to me means the language that they're going to be using is what's changing more than anything else.
I expect that there's certain things. Well, I mean, if you watched Raw on Monday, there was a word that was edited out that's on all over Dynamite, probably said far too often, but it's there. And I think it's just what it is. It's just like, look, these other guys are using that word on their TV every single week, and no sponsors are cracking down or anything like that. So why don't we? And it's like, okay, I think that's really what it is. It's just a response to, hey, our competitor is doing it and they're not getting any flack. So we're not going to get any flack either. So we don't expect to get any flack for it. And why not? Why not? You know, because I mean, the thing on Monday's show, this past Monday, is Brock Lesnar said the word that was bleeped out, and it had been agreed to by everyone. Like, you know, the WWE's interviews are scripted, and USA sees the script. So everything was cool, and then it was still sound edited. So I think that, I don't know that that is the thing that happened, but the timing of everything works out perfectly, in the sense that they agreed to it, they got squeamish, because it says TV, you know, PG, and that word was being used. And it's like, you know what? Like, let's just change it. And because, again, like you said, I don't expect it to be a lot of blood, although, you know, AEW obviously is doing blood too, but I think they don't want to do blood. But I mean, as far as the language, yeah, I think they want to get a little bit more risque on the language. I don't think it really makes any tangible difference in the product. I mean, you know, I guess you can use the word and get a pop, but you know, it's still the same, you know, same guys, and doesn't change the matches and doesn't change the angles very much. But you know, whatever, you know, they, you know, if they want to do that, I mean, I don't have any issue with it. I mean, it's and I don't think anyone does at this stage.
I don't think so either. No, and you know, they've toyed with this idea a number of times. I mean, a couple years ago when they were doing Raw Underground, they wanted that third hour to be a little bit more adult, and really they didn't commit to it fully. That it tends to happen a lot over there where they half commit to projects and then pull back. I think we kind of know why that happens and who decides that. But here's my question, right? You know, to me, it's more of the optics of going TV 14, right? It's more competitive to a portion of the audience that maybe is a little bit disenfranchised with WWE and the way that things are presented on TV. I think to me, and we saw, I did not think this would be, maybe I was a little bit naive. I didn't think this would get as much traction when I put the tweet out. I was like, okay, this is like any other story that I put out. A couple thousand likes on a big story, and that's it. But this had like 18, before I deleted it, because I didn't want, at that time, when it went out, I was still trying to piece it together, and I didn't want the July 18th still going out there. So I took the tweet down, and I put out a new one, and I said, hey, listen, this was the situation. But to me, it's an optics thing more than anything else. And that has been a big WWE thing. Whenever I speak to people there, they always bring up the term optics. Like Cody, for example, they were dancing with joy when Cody went over because it was a great optics PR battle for them. So with this,
absolutely, kind
of puts them on the same scale as what AEW is doing. And it's not that they're going to do what AEW does, or, you know, depending on what side you fall on, maybe they don't even come close if you're very much an AEW fan. But the optics says different for them. And I don't think there's going to be a big difference. I my personal opinion, I don't think a lot's going to change. Maybe you'll get certain words that are used by certain people. And outside of that, that's it. I don't think we're going to be getting, you know, we're not going to get a death match, a barbed wire death match on Raw ever, in my opinion.
I don't think we're going to get, I mean, they're already breaking tables every, you know, regularly. So that's, you know, there's that. And you're getting accidental blood all the time anyway. As far as like the on purpose blood, I don't see them doing that. You know, they did it once with Lesnar and Randy Orton, and I think that was a big mistake in hindsight. So I don't expect, I don't know that they think the bloodbath thing works for them anyway. But we'll see. I mean, it does give them a little bit more leeway. You know, they kind of promise sponsors a tame product, but again, I don't see the sponsors, you know, I don't see their sponsors getting upset over a dirty word in 2022. It's a different world.
And they don't get those complaints. That's a rarity for them to get a complaint.
No one's going to get a complaint. You know, things change all the time. I mean, I was thinking about the thing is a totally different subject. But for years, they wouldn't touch Matt Riddle. And now they're main eventing him. And it's not like they run away from why they wouldn't touch him, you know, and it's part of his character. And, you know, I mean, and that was like, we don't even want him in dark matches, and we don't even want him in tryout matches or anything. It was like, he was a definite no for years until, you know, New Japan wanted him. And then it was just, you know,
Dave, we got to go to break. We got to go to break, but stay tuned. We got a second segment coming up, guys. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Wrestling Observer Live. Age is airing here, Sunday edition. I got Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, the man behind Wrestling Observer, on the line with us. We were talking about the possibility of Raw going TV-14, and I got Dave on the line here to talk about it. Who better than him? But I kind of wanted to run down on the latest that I heard, the last of the updates, which was probably sometime on Friday after Pat McAfee mentioned on SmackDown that, you know, kind of alluded to the TV-14 story. So have a couple other wrestlers on social media. So the last I got was that memo was sent out internally to USA staff, right? That far we know. From the time that the article went out, my tweet went out to them, I guess like a couple hours, they decided that they were not going to do it on Monday. Actually, first they said in the message they were not doing it. And then I spoke to a couple other people. They said, no. It's just not now. We're not doing it this Monday. So, you know, to me, it was explained that memo went out prematurely. And that term was used by numerous people that I spoke to. So it seems like it was in a message somewhere. That memo went out prematurely. And that was it. It should not have gone out at the time that it did. But the answer is that it is going to TV-14. That's what USA Network's on board with this. They're ready to do it. There was a couple other people within WWE that mentioned that, you know, maybe this was... It was alluded. I didn't confirm. Now, Dave, you're here with me. Did you hear anything? Because I was... Somebody mentioned to me that this was possibly a Kevin Dunn thing and that Kevin was tired of having to bleep certain words.
That I don't know. I thought... I actually, from someone in WWE who thought it was a USA thing, but it also could be that they went to USA and you know USA has to approve it.
Yeah, of course.
So it could be that. You know, so it's a WWE thing and a USA thing both. I mean, honestly, because they both have to approve it. If one doesn't want it, it wasn't going to change. So they're both on. So basically, it's a situation where whoever went to whoever first, the other one said okay, and now it's just a question of when we implement it.
To kind of move on to another bizarre, scandalous situation. More allegations possibly against Vince McMahon. There's more interviews being conducted. The Wall Street Journal is also working on another story, another follow-up regarding this. Dave, you know, whenever I think about anything to do negatively press-wise with Vince McMahon, the infamous Phil Donahue episode with you on it comes up in my mind every time. I mean, as a kid, I had that recorded. I had my mother record that with John Arezzi and you, and he was, what a bizarre, I know you've spoken about it numerous times, but a very uncomfortable positioning of you sitting next to Vince McMahon
That wasn't bad. I mean, seriously, me sitting next to Vince wasn't bad because of all the people on the panel. I mean, I'm sure I'm the one that he would wanted to sit next to. And the reasons were weird because they wanted Bruno there.
Yeah.
And we all knew that was a terrible idea. And I said, look, you know, I mean, it was basically me going like, look, I mean, me next to Vince is the best thing for the show. I wasn't like looking for glory. It was just like, it's the best thing for the show. And they all pretty much realized that it was, because basically Bruno was at the very end because they wanted as much distance between Vince and Bruno as possible because Bruno was very, very hot that day.
Yeah, that would have been something. That would have been perfect for daytime TV in the 90s.
Oh my God, would that have been something? Yeah. Right in the middle. I would have had to jump in the middle. That was the scary part of the whole thing. I wasn't scared about it. I didn't really expect it, but Bruno did go, like, it's a funny thing because Bruno goes, if he lies, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then the producers at the show go, do you think he's going to lie? And I go, I think so.
Yeah.
And they go, what do we do? And I go, put me there. You know, I'm obviously not going to get mad if he lies or anything. And it'll be just fine. And if something happens, you know, I guess I gotta dive in the middle or something. Or, you know, I mean, they have security, but it could. I didn't expect it to be bad. I suppose in worst case scenario, it could have been bad, but you know, it wasn't. But yeah, it would have been like the Jerry Lawler, Andy Kaufman thing. One of like, I honestly, God, I think it would have been one of the craziest moments in history television.
That conversation would be still flowing online. That Dave was in on the work. You know, it was a work, and Dave was
no,
in
no,
on
yeah, but it's Bruno and Vince working, which you know, believe me, Bruno and Vince weren't working then. No.
Hello? Let me see. Yeah, sorry, I lost you for a second there. So I want to get your opinion on this. So do you know, more investigations being done right now? They're hoping to conclude this soon. Obviously, the investigation, WWE has said that whatever the investigation brings forward, they're going to obviously, honor whatever the decision is and whatever. Do you think this is going to get deeper at this point, or have we seen the worst of the situations?
You know, I don't know, but I think we've seen, I think that the last article was the worst. We may find more. There may be some. It's interesting because no women have come forward publicly that I'm aware of in the last, you know, since last Friday when the last story broke. And sometimes those things happen in the situation where more people jump on board, and it really hasn't happened. But you know, if there is more stuff out there, you know, we got a lot of people looking for it, including them internally, and it becomes the weirdest thing because it's like, the last thing that the board of directors wants to do is have a fight with Vince. And, you know, the facts may force it. The facts may not force it. And, you know, for us, it's just kind of sitting and waiting what happens. I mean, it's like, I, in my mind, think that in the end, you know, Vince is still going to be with the company. But I read the allegations. I go, if this stuff is true and they believe it's true, boy, how do you keep them? I don't think you can. So
no, you can't.
It's a really, you know, it's one of the craziest stories like of the last 30 years, honestly.
Well, I mean, you've said it numerous times. If this was any other company in the position that they're in, any media company, any corporate company that is, you know.
Oh, he's gone.
It wouldn't even be, it would be instantaneous. Instantaneous.
Yeah, he's gone. If it was, especially when it's multiple, you know what I mean? I know the argument, it's like he paid for his own money and everything like that, but the one allegation, you know, where you're talking about, you know, paying $7.5 million and the idea of coerced sex and, you know, firing when you stop doing it. I mean, yeah, they would be gone. Basically, they're going to have to find out who this person is and talk to them, and that person's going to have to say something different than the original thing that they got paid for. So it is a very weird. It's a very weird, tenuous situation. Yes.
Very much so. Very much so. You know, let's I'm curious how this falls out, honestly. I'm very curious because this is a make or break for many things in that company.
Oh, it's total change of face. The company's going to do great either way. One of the things, like, if it was 15 years ago or even 5 years ago, I think that there would be this thing of, oh, what happens when Vince is gone? But you know what? This company is so set financially that Vince can be gone and somebody else can be in charge of creative. And as long as they're competent and creative and they're not absolutely horrible, everything would be cool. And you could do conservative creative, and it will work right now just because of the nature of the fan base and everything like that. You know, they're the characters themselves are more over than they've been in several years. There is an upswing in interest, even though people don't want to hear that. They're doing fine. They're not. It's never going to be the Attitude Era again. I mean, I just don't think that, you know, when people want to compare it to 23 years ago or 21 years ago, we're, you know, until we get another Rock and another Steve Austin, that's not going to happen. But where we are now, you know, I mean, it's better than it's been. I will say that. You know, it's the last, you know, the advances, if you look at all these shows coming up, they're above what they had been. The TV ratings were up from a year ago. Not up a lot, but they're up. And, you know, that's where we stand.
Where do you think a healthy WWE, as far as like Raw goes or SmackDown goes, if they're in a very healthy position, where do you think those ratings should be? It's hard to do the metrics at this point, right? Because consumption of media is so different.
If you're you know, nobody's immune from the realities of television. If you're number one, you're okay. It's just like AEW when people go, oh, they haven't grown viewers. You know, number one, cable has lost many, many homes, and if you compare the viewers of AEW or WWE from this year and last year, and then you factor in the loss of homes the stations have, they are both up. So it's not like they're knocking them dead or they're up 30% or anything like that, but they're up. And to me, if you're up, you're doing good. If you're number one on your day on television, you're doing good. And Dynamite's number one most weeks. Raw is going to be number one, maybe not this week because of Home Run Derby, but it's going to be number one until football season. And after, you know, football season, it'll be behind football. And that happens every year. They ain't beating football. So the point is, it's very valuable. Wrestling is not going down or anything like that. Wrestling's in a good, WWE is in a great place. AEW is in a, you know, it's hard to say place, but it's certainly a good place. I mean, they're, you know, the WBD, you know, I mean, as far as cutbacks go, I mean, that's probably even a bigger story than Vince. That's probably the biggest story is that, but we're not going to get that story for another, you know, year and a half.
Yeah.
So, or a year. So, you know, right now everything's fine. No one's getting canceled. Numbers are good. You know, they could be better. They certainly could be worse. Almost all of TV is worse.
Oh, I agree with you. Now, the other part of this Vince McMahon story I totally forgot to bring up was that the special, the Netflix docuseries, I guess, whatever they were putting together is now on hold, according to Denise Salcedo with that breaking story.
Yes. Well, that's the one where when people go, like, all this stuff has gone on and they haven't been hurt. Well, that's a multi-million dollar project.
Dave, so, we got to go to break. We got to go to break, but I appreciate you coming on, always.
Okay, cool. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you soon. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarin here, Sunday edition. Thanks to Dave Meltzer for coming on. Always a pleasure to have him on. The OG, the original Dave Meltzer. Guys, I want to take a minute and talk about something that's happening at the end of the month, and it's Ric Flair's last match in Nashville. RicFlair'sLastMatch.com has all the details. The weekend gets started with a roast of Ric Flair on Friday night, July 29th. The next day, you'll have panels with Brian Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli. You know, I was practicing that before, and I tried to do it perfectly with the accent. It came out terrible, so I'm not even attempting it this time. My producers yelled at me. The Horseman reunion, Bret Hart talks SummerSlam 92. And on Sunday, they've got Paige, formerly known as Paige, Mick Foley, Kevin Nash, and so much more. It's all part of the biggest StarCast yet, StarCast 5. Photos, meet and greets, autographs, all happening. They've also got Black Label Pro and GCW on Friday, New Japan on Saturday, and Ric Flair's last match on Sunday. Ric's last match will take place at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium, and tickets are still on sale, just $39. at RickFlairsLastMatch.com. They got the NWA, MLW, AAA, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, AEW, and a lot more involved in this. Some of the highlights, obviously, you know, there's a lot of matches. Obviously, we don't know who Rick's facing. Rick's facing, we're going to find out tomorrow, actually, in episode 2 of the docuseries over at RickFlairsLastMatch.com. You can check it out over there. But there's a couple of matches on this card that I'm really looking forward to. One, obviously, Briscoes and Von Erichs. Very cool match, right? I'm into that. Killer Kross versus Harry Smith. First time. I've never seen that. Ren Narita and Clark Connors. New Japan match. You got so much going on. Our good friend of the show, Josh Alexander and Jacob Fatu for the Impact Championship. Motor City Machine Guns and the Wolves. Briscoes, Von Erichs. Kerry and Ricky Morton versus Brian Pillman Jr. and Brock Anderson. A whole lot more. Get your tickets over at RickFlairsLastMatch.com. You could also watch. You could pre-order the event, obviously. You could watch on pay-per-view, on cable, satellite, or on fight at RickFlairsMatch.com. So let's talk about Ric Flair's last match, because this is a big deal. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people initially when this happened, they were a little skeptical as to what condition Flair's going to be in. A lot of people questioning whether or not he should have this match. I think, you know, some of those are very valid questions still. You know, what condition is he in? You know, he kind of knows his body better than anybody else. There's a lot of people that have also been... there's a lot of people also that have been on top of this and following this, but I'm very curious on what you guys think. Do you think he should be having this match? Because, you know, to me, it's he thinks he's ready, you know, and it's wrestling. It's not boxing, and they could do something. They could gimmick it up. I think it's okay, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens here. Very excited to talk about it. RickFlairsLastMatch.com. I want to give them a little plug here. Also, let's talk about this. We got a big SummerSlam card coming up. And, you know, it's, I said this on Mat Men, and I got a little bit of a crap for it, but I want you guys to hear me out. On paper, this is a very good card. It's not a bad card at all. Pat McAfee has invigorated the audience about this Happy Corbin match, which is generally, it should be a nothing match, but people are very excited for this. Pat McAfee and Happy Corbin, you also have a last man standing match. Now, obviously, everybody wants to see this match, right? We've never seen this, right? We've never seen Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns for the title. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, last man standing match for the WWE Universal Championship. United States champion Bobby Lashley defends against Austin Theory. Undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions. The Usos defend against the Street Profits, with the latest development being that Jeff Jarrett has now been added to this match. Matt, our producer, I want to get your opinion. You think Jeff Jarrett adds more to this? Because the refs, right? The whole story is that the refs are totally incompetent in this company. The people that are supposed to do their job, totally incompetent. And they need Jeff Jarrett, right?
No, but I guess he's a big name. That one surprised me when he came out. I was like, okay, I was not expecting that.
The like, Jeff Jarrett else, stuff.
But not Nashville makes sense. I was like, oh, that he lives there. That makes sense. Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's going to be some sort of schmoz with a guitar. I would totally
the guitar, a concert maybe, you know, maybe you'll have a concert. So here's the other thing, right? What else sticks out for you on this card? Because you're a good gauge. You are a hardcore wrestling fan. You watch everything. You watch AEW, you watch WWE, you watch New Japan, you watch AAA, you watch indie stuff, you watch Stardom. Is there any, does Lesnar, Roman do anything for you at this point?
Lesnar and Roman to me feels like this needs to be, I mean, obviously we don't know if it's going to be it should be, but if you're going to do a last man standing match, I feel like this needs to be a fun finale, and I mean real finale. And I don't see Roman losing. I don't know how they're going to do that, make it make sense, but we'll see. The other one on this card that really stands out that I'm interested in for many reasons is Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey.
Because we're fans of Liv. She's a friend of the show, right? For sure, right? But is it the right thing for her to beat Ronda Rousey, right? What does that do or somebody else beats her?
You know, so what I think is going to happen is I think this is where Ronda gets branched off in a program. Possibly the Charlotte comes back and costs her. And then you got a non-title program between those two. And I think if you're going to do that program, which is another one that was getting long in the tooth, at least it's not for the title. And then that you can do that in the fall, and then Liv can go on to something else and kind of establish herself as a champion. That's what I would do. But yeah, that one intrigues me a little bit. How they're going to pull that off.
Listen, there's a lot of stuff on this card that people are excited. You know what I want to, okay, not biased or anything, right? But like for me, the hardcore fan, I'm excited about this Ring of Honor show that's coming up, Death Before Dishonor. Oh, yes. Right? This is next week. And I got to tell you, man, this card looks pretty good. Jonathan Gresham will defend the Ring of Honor Championship, World Heavyweight Championship, against Claudio Castagnoli at Death Before Dishonor. Claudio's never had a world title, so this is a great moment to, you know, if you're rebranding, if you're restarting Ring of Honor anytime soon, which I'm, listen, there's nothing that has told me that this is happening, but I would expect some sort of announcement for the television, right? I would expect some sort of announcement as far as shows go, because it's time now. You've had a lot of months to prep it. Now is the time if you're going to continue doing this. This can't just be a title that randomly gets defended on random AEW shows. I don't think that's the answer here. But Jonathan Gresham defends against the Ring of Honor, the Ring of Honor World Championship against Claudio. Fantastic match. Briscoe's FTR. 2 out of 3 pinfall match. Fantastic match. I mean, how do you? What do you think here? You think they should announce something?
Yeah. I would expect them to be honest with you. They usually do that on those pay-per-views. You know, they announce something. So it makes sense to me.
Some other AEW and Ring of Honor news here. Parker Boudreau. There you go. I thought you spelt it wrong, but you were absolutely right here. It was me. he debuted on AEW Dark. And also Troy Two Dimes Donovan debuted as well. So... okay, you know, Parker's a big guy. Early on, when this guy got signed to WWE, that was that crazy flexing photo that he had, and there was so much comparison to Brock Lesnar, right? Tons of comparison to Brock Lesnar. But what did they do? They made him into nails. They shaved his head, and they put a jumpsuit on him, covering up his body. This guy was a body guy. They covered up his body, and they shaved his head, and they made him look ridiculous. So I'm curious if AEW could do something with him or if he's going to sign a contract because, you know, young guy, big dude. I think that's the way to go. You think he would do well there?
Yeah, I think ROH is a place to put him. I think that's where he ends up.
I think that's
not a bad bet. That's not a bad bet at all. I think that would be a good, but they introduced a new faction with him in. I didn't parse the story that much, but yeah, it's a new faction that they're trying out on Dark. Which they've been doing lately, and doing some pretty good stuff with that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he does, and I'm curious to see this match and how he looked. Lineup for Dynamite Wednesday. This is Fyter Fest Night 2. Here we go. My favorite match: Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho, barbed wire everywhere match, barbed wire death match. The flyer says death match. The promotion said everywhere match. I don't know if that was a TV-friendly thing. They didn't want to say death match on TV. But Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho are in a barbed wire match on Dynamite on Wednesday. This is going to be a ridiculous, insane match. We've seen what these two could do. Chris Jericho is now the king of hardcore. He's turning into Terry Funk in his old age. He's having fluorescent tube matches, and he's getting pizza cutters on his head, and now he's doing a barbed wire death match with Eddie Kingston. Luchasaurus and Christian versus the Varsity Blondes. Brody King and Darby Allin, John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, and the Best Friends. You know, let's talk about AEW for a couple of minutes. We have like 2 minutes here before we go on break, but this has been a interesting time for them. A lot of attention on their ratings, a lot of attention on their TV deal that's coming up. You know, I think they've been doing really good in their ratings. I think we have to realize where we're at right now with TV. Like Dave said in that second segment, I don't think any of these companies are going to have 4 million people watching anytime soon. But, you know, sitting at that million mark for AEW, that is a big number. And you also have to look at how they perform for the night for their demos. So I think this is a very interesting period. And they're trying different things. You know, having a barbed wire match, a barbed wire death match on AEW, they'll hit 1 million viewers here. They hit him over a million for the Blood and Guts match. We've seen them do this time and time again. So I'm curious if this builds up the momentum for them, because sitting at that million mark is a great number for them. Absolutely. Also, G1 results. I'm gonna go through some of this really quickly. G1 results night 1 and 2. Okada defeated Jeff Cobbs. Jay White defeated Sonata. Will Ospreay defeated El Fantasmo, and Aaron Hanari defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi. Interesting. That was very interesting to me. You weren't shocked by that?
Not really, because I usually have one upset for everyone. The only difference is this year, six matches, so the standings are going to be a little tighter.
Yeah. Juice Robinson defeated Shingo. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Kenta. Toriano defeated Jonah by countout. And Taishi defeated Ishii. So they're getting this card ready. You know, this is a very strange G1. A lot of people expected things would be totally wide open for this G1. We'd be back to how it was. But Japan has not done that yet. And we're still in this weird pandemic era for New Japan, where you're kind of limited as far as fan engagement goes. But I saw some of these matches. I haven't seen all of them yet. Obviously, a lot going on. But I have to tell you, some of these guys look very impressive. Night one, they work great. Night two, they work great. It's New Japan. The work rate is always fantastic. It's just a matter of how it finishes and what they do here. But things are kind of gearing back into place, especially with New Japan. Very interested in this. I hope this is the end. Like, after they say, like, well, limited attendance in September when they come back and they're doing, you could cheer now with limited attendance. I'm hoping that next year, at least for that Tokyo Dome show, man, they can't do a limited show this year. They got to go with the Dome show. They got to go back to how it was. I think it's time for them. Very much so. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Andrew Zarian here. We're going to break. Hey, follow me on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian. Forgot to tell you guys. We'll be right back after this here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here. Final segment here on the show. Boy, that was a jam-packed show here today. But there's a lot going on this week in pro wrestling. Tomorrow, I'm excited to see what happens on Raw, if they even mention this TV-14 fiasco. I'm also curious I'm sure I'm going to find out probably this week when this starts, because that's a big story here. When are they going to be doing this? We'll find out. No worries about that. Guys, this was a lot of fun. I want to remind everybody, you can subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available now. Wrestling Observer Live is available in Spotify, in the Apple Podcast Store. I think Google Music, it has it. We're everywhere podcasts are available right now. So you can subscribe to this show and everything else that we're doing here that's available. I believe Denise's show is available. We're Live Pals available. Matt Men is available. Wrestling Observer Live, obviously, is available. You can follow us on social media as well. But, the next couple of weeks, man, things are heating up. We're going into the fall slowly. I can't believe it. It's July, mid-July. We're talking about the fall already. We're talking about All Out. Tickets went on sale. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there. I know Dave and Brian are going to be there. They're going to be doing a panel. I know everybody's going to be going this year. I don't know if I'm going to make it because of my hip issues. But, I think that show's going to be a very big show. It's going to set the tone for the next couple of months for AEW. Then they go to Arthur Ashe, my backyard, here in Queens, a couple of weeks later. And then everybody's going to be talking about their TV deal coming up in 2024, 2023. They got to renew it, right? This is when you renew. I mean, 2023, you got to renew for 2024. Very interesting stuff here. Very, very interesting stuff. Guys, that's it for this week. I'll be back next Sunday. Brian will be back tomorrow here on Wrestling Observer Live. Follow us on social media. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. We'll be back next time. Take care.